from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Tuesday, January 31st. Coming up, many states across the Midwest have lost more than 50% of their original wetlands, and it could be more, depending on how the Supreme Court rules on a controversial case to define the waters of the United States. More in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A survey of public schools across Illinois found nearly 4 out of 5 districts reporting a shortage of teachers this year. Almost every district says the problem was the same or worse compared to last year. But districts also say the state has the tools to make things better. Char Dastin reports.
The survey came from the Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents of Schools. Their president, Mark Kleisner, said too few teachers were applying, and schools had to make do with long-term substitutes or teachers trained in the wrong subject or grade level.
One of my colleagues mentioned he knew of a middle school in his region where not one of the teachers was fully endorsed to be teaching what they were teaching.
Most districts say some state policies have helped, like allowing substitutes to work more days per school year. But over 80% said the state should make it easier to pay teachers more, which would help recruit and retain more teachers.
Char Dastin reporting. A group of Illinois lawmakers and representatives from business and local government will study warehouse safety over the next 2 years. The state legislature approved the task force to specifically look into how an Amazon warehouse collapsed during a 2021 tornado in Edwardsville, killing 6 employees. Democrat Katie Stewart of Edwardsville will serve on the group. She says she's specifically interested in learning more about building codes.
The fact that we had such a tragic result makes me wonder if we don't need to look at those building codes and see that maybe Illinois needs to go above and beyond what's already expected.
Building codes are set federally by the International Code Council. Currently, they don't require a storm shelter in warehouses. Dubbed the Warehouse Safety and Standards Task Force, the group plans to meet and provide reports quarterly. This is the first year elementary and high schools in Illinois are required to teach a unit on Asian American history. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, some private groups have also taken up that charge.
The Teaching Equitable Asian American History, or TEACH Act, was passed in 2021 by state lawmakers and signed by the governor. Yingying Han is a graduate student at the University of Illinois. Last fall, she started teaching history workshops at a Chinese language school. She wants Asian teens to understand their heritage in this country.
I'm starting from community school, like Chinese Heritage Association or NORC, because I am an immigrant. I'm more comfortable of working with people I'm familiar with.
Han is now leading workshops each Tuesday in February at the New American Welcome Center. She will tie lessons to present-day themes, like how anti-Asian hate is still widespread and how students can report racist comments they may receive. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The union representing Caterpillar employees at facilities in Illinois and Pennsylvania overwhelmingly authorized a strike last week as negotiations on a new contract continue. UAW Local 974 Second Vice President Tony Newton says 98% of membership voted in favor of strike authorization. Local 974 represents employees in East Peoria, Morton, Decatur, Pontiac, Mapleton, Mossville, and York, Pennsylvania. A strike authorization vote does not mean a union is immediately going on strike. Rather, it gives the union the authority to call a strike if contract negotiations falter. Still to come, a look at the state of wetlands in the Midwest, now and in the future. That story from Harvest Public Media is next on 217 Today.
The Great American Recipe is an 8-part cooking competition that celebrates the multiculturalism that makes American food unique and iconic. This series gives talented home cooks the opportunity to showcase their signature dishes to win the competition for America's Best Recipe. Alejandro Ramos hosts, and judges Leah Cohen, Tiffany Derry, and Graham Elliott bring professional insights and culinary knowledge to support the contestants. Stream this and other exceptional cooking shows as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The Environmental Protection Agency recently released new rules regarding the waters of the United States that decide which bodies of water fall under federal protection. But a case the U.S. Supreme Court is expected to rule on soon throws those rules into question and could mean less protection for wetlands. Harvest Public Media and the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk's Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco reports on what the Sackett versus EPA case may mean for wetlands in the Midwest and beyond.
Doug Blodgett is walking up the remnants of the old levee at the Nature Conservancy's Emequon Preserve in central Illinois. 20 years ago, before the Conservancy took over the nearly 7,000 acres, it was corn and soybean fields. The restoration reconnected the floodplains to the Illinois River, and Blodgett recalls the day he realized the migratory birds were back in a big way.
There were, 100,000 snow geese out here, and they all got up at once, and it was about this time of the morning, and the sun just disappeared. You could not see a ray of sunlight shining through those.
According to the Nature Conservancy, Emequon is among the largest floodplain restorations anywhere in the Midwest. Millions of migratory birds pass through the wetlands every year, not to mention the countless number of native plants and fish species that call the flourishing refuge home. But Blodgett says many wetlands aren't so lucky. Illinois has lost nearly 90% of its original wetlands. The majority of Midwestern states, about 50%.
Yeah, we don't have enough now, and so we can't afford to lose more.
But protections for wetlands are up in the air. Last fall, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments for the Sackett versus EPA case, a 14-year legal battle launched from the backyard of an Idaho couple, the Sacketts, seeking to fill their lake-adjacent property with gravel. The EPA stopped them. The case, which has been to the Supreme Court twice now, challenges the federal protections the Clean Water Act provides to some waters and wetlands under the definition of waters of the United States. Mark Davis directs the Tulane Institute on Water Resources Law and Policy in New Orleans. He calls the Sackett case just the latest in a long line of challenges to the Clean Water Act. At stake is the federal government's jurisdiction over the nation's most valuable natural resource, water.
It will mean that there are many important waters and wetlands that are no longer protected by law at all.
Davis says larger wetlands, such as Emequon, will be fine. But it's the smaller, more isolated wetlands and streams that are on the line. They're critical to the overall wetland system, which supports all kinds of wildlife. Although wetlands cover just 6% of the Earth's land surface, it's estimated that 40% of all species rely on them. Davis likes to call them nature's sponge.
They hold water, they slow water, and they do it naturally while providing any number of other benefits, and they don't normally charge you a penny for it.
If the court rules in favor of the Sacketts and limits federal agencies' jurisdiction to regulate some of the nation's wetlands, experts say it would leave states to do that work, and that would create a patchwork of protections. Misa Khan with the Mississippi River Network says wetlands don't follow state lines, and the Mississippi River Basin covers over 1 million square miles and 31 states.
Relying on different states to make up different rules ignores how what happens in one part of the Mississippi River has impacts on another.
A Tulane study found that 24 states rely on the Clean Water Act to regulate wetlands in their states. That means that they would have limited wetland regulations if the Supreme Court narrows the scope of the Clean Water Act. The court is expected to return a decision on the Sackett case sometime early this year. For now, the future for many of the country's wetlands, especially those seemingly isolated from navigable rivers or streams, remains uncertain. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
This story was a collaboration between Harvest Public Media and the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be mostly sunny and cold today with a high of 21 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Char Dastin, Will Bauer, Emily Hayes, Tim Shelley, and Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.